We turn our attention to Gaza. In the last 24 hours, Gaza has seen a sharp spike in civilian deaths, over 130 people reportedly killed, including children, and at least one senior doctor like Dr. Marwan al-Sultan. The collapse of the health system is reportedly worsening, and at the same time, Hamas is reviewing what the US has called a final 60-day ceasefire deal involving phased Israeli withdrawal and hostage releases. Joining me on the line from Israel is Kanan Lidor, who is a journalist for the Jewish News Syndicate and a regular Chai FM contributor. Kanan, thank you so much for chatting with us on the home run. After the airstrike that killed Dr. al-Sultan and his family, is there any official investigation underway, as far as you know, into what happened?
Hi, good afternoon. It seems that there is an internal probe of the IDF, just as they really examine and replay each significant scenario, each move on the battlefield. So this one is going also to be checked in the same way. And there isn't any external inquiry as of now.
What is the latest you're hearing on the ground in terms of what is happening in Gaza? Are you receiving the same reports that over 130 people have been killed, most of them civilians?
This is indeed the number that we are hearing from the health ministry in Gaza, which is really run by Hamas, or at least loyal to Hamas. The Hamas has an interest, a double interest, first of all, in inflating death figures and blaming them on Israel, and has another ulterior motive, which is to prevent the distribution of food and to create deaths around the distribution of food, because it has a competition. It wants to control the resources, the humanitarian aid, and the U.S. and Israel are determined to prevent it from being in charge of the dispensation of aid. And that's why the Gaza Humanitarian Fund was set up last month. And right now it's handling the distribution of food. And that's why we're seeing a lot of deaths around it.
Do you have any idea what's actually happening with the distribution by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation? Because on the one hand, yes, it's set up by Israel and the United States, and that's to try at least and bypass Hamas. But then on the other hand, we have all these killings, and we have all this violence around the distribution. So it's a little bit difficult from the outside to actually understand what is the truth of what's going on the ground.
Yes, the deaths are confusing for two reasons. First of all, some of them are believed to be the work of Hamas itself, but others are instigated using the aid recipients and basically getting the IDF to fire on them. And that's a little bit more complicated. And so the fault, the offending bullet, the deadly bullet, is indeed an IDF bullet, but the circumstances around it, which are much more difficult to explain, are orchestrated in a way to benefit this Hamas takeover of aid. This has been the case in a number of cases, and of course, in a combat situation, there are also errors happening all the time. We just saw a deadly incident involving IDF soldiers. One died because the flap of their APC couldn't be closed. So this is, of course, not an outcome that the IDF doesn't have total control over the circumstances on the ground. And it's costing both Israeli and Palestinian lives, this war, which is, of course, part of the reason that a lot of people, including on the right and definitely on the left, want to see this war
over.
End with a ceasefire and the return of the hostages.
We are receiving reports that Hamas is reviewing the U.S. 60-day ceasefire deal. And what we understand that Israel is demanding from the Hamas leadership is, number one, a full disarmament of Hamas. Number two, the elimination or exile of Hamas leaders. And number three, unconditional withdrawal from Gaza. How seriously, the sense you get from reporting on the ground, is Israel considering the ceasefire plan, assuming that Hamas abides to these requirements and demands?
Well, there are two narratives in every deal with the Arab terror groups and also Arab states. One is what is conveyed to the U.S. to Israel to the West, and the other is what's conveyed to the population. So Hamas can very easily agree to dismantle itself publicly to the West while sending the contrary message in Gaza itself. That's probably what will happen if Hamas does accede to that demand, but it's not entirely sure that it will.
At the same time, we are receiving, Kanan, reports that the Hamas leadership that is based in Doha has been ordered to surrender their personal weapons. Any reports coming in from Doha about this disarmament, and any idea if the reports that are coming in are credible or enforceable?
It's very credible, because the U.S., Donald Trump, is on record as wanting the war to end, and Qatar is a tool in order to make that happen. And it's very credible that he would ask for such a symbolic gesture. I mean, it doesn't really matter for the battleground in Gaza whether they walk around with personal sidearms or not, but as a declarative move to show goodwill of Qatar, makes perfect sense that Donald Trump would ask that and that they would acquiesce. As for the exile of Hamas leaders, that's also credible, much more credible than Hamas really agreeing to be dismantled, or disarmed. That is a credible option. It has happened before. Khaled Mash'al, for example, went into exile in Jordan on understandings that were later violated, but never mind. It happened with the PLO. The PLO went into exile from Lebanon in 1982. This definitely is a credible, reasonable scenario.
What's your sense? Do most Israelis support the ceasefire or not?
It seems that at this point, most of them do. That's my sense, at least. That's also what surveys show, around 70-30, 60-40. That's the breakdown. And that's because also on the right, there's this feeling that the government said it would dismantle Hamas, but it's not happening, and we're not gaining any grounds, and it doesn't seem like Jewish settlements are going to be renewed, which is an interest on the right. And so what are the dividends? What can we benefit from this? How can we benefit from this? And that seems to be not in Gaza, but in a regional deal. Let's see what we can get out of this, because this is leading nowhere. This is the rationale for a lot of people also on the right.
What about the hostages? Because my understanding is that the ceasefire will be a phased ceasefire, and the figures that they've been given or been giving don't suggest that all the bodies and all the live hostages will be returned.
Right. We're talking about 10 in the first phase of the ceasefire, which is the only phase that matters, because the other phases are contingent on too many factors to be really counted on, you know. I think at this point, this is subjective impression. I think at this point, the critical demand for concessions to Hamas in order to obtain the hostages are not a factor. This was a factor when it had dozens of hostages, when there was a critical mass of hostages, if you will. At this point, the center and the right of the Israeli public have gotten accustomed to the idea that we need to first obtain political, diplomatic, strategic goals vis-a-vis Hamas, and then get the hostages rather than the other way around.
Kanan Lidor, a journalist for the Jewish News Syndicate and a regular Chai FM contributor, thank you so much for bringing insight on this story.